today on Real Life Radio.
And listen, the closer, watch, listen, everybody, the closer we get to his coming, we know something. There will be more and more people not believing it. There will be more and more people departing from the faith. That's one of the indicators. Although there are no prerequisites, Paul says we will know the times and the seasons.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, in our desire to pursue God, we often find ourselves wondering how to do it in this fast-paced world. Well, I think our current featured resource is really going to help. It's called The Pursuit of God, a beloved classic by the late pastor and evangelist A.W. Tozer. The Pursuit of God is the fruit of Tozer's spiritual exploration into the essence of God's nature, and it'll help you on your own journey towards God. With well over a million copies sold, recapture the radiant wonder that comes from having faith in Christ and a desire for God above all. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God at the highest possible level of fulfillment.
The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled, What Happens Next? This series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why it matters in our lives today. You see, God doesn't want us to be ignorant when it comes to future events. Bible prophecy was given to us by God to give us a future and a hope. So, what happens next? So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that there is a rapture of the church coming, and we need to be ready. The rapture must happen to get the church to heaven. There's no other doctrine that brings Jesus and the church together except for the rapture. Now with his message called, What Happens Next? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us it's sudden. It's a sudden event. The rapture is sudden. Listen, everybody, mark this down. There is no prophetic precursors or requirements for the rapture to take place. There's not one thing that triggers the rapture to be next. Nothing. It's without warning. The second coming, there's nearly 280 prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the second coming can happen. Think of it. One is predominantly by far Gentile in nature. The other one is absolutely Jewish by nature. When Jesus comes in the rapture, he comes to collect those that believe him from the globe, both living and the dead, their bodies. Think of that. When he comes back regarding the second coming, it's specifically to finish his covenantal promises that were given to Israel regarding their relationship with him. It's remarkable. It's a sudden event. Verse 17 says, then we who are alive and remain. That's Paul's statement. By the way, Bible scholars in here, write it down. They are known as the five we statements of Paul. Five times in this chapter, Paul says, we who are living when he comes, we will be caught up. We will meet the dead in the resurrection. We will meet the Lord in the air. Paul included himself as being in that generation that would see the Lord, and he didn't give up on that until 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he concedes and says, I'm going to be dying now, and I have loved his appearing. And he's beheaded. But all his life he lived. By the way, Christian, every generation, from this book we know every generation of believers is to expect the imminent return of Christ in their lifetime. Did you know that? Every generation. From the beginning, the disciples believed Christ would return before they all died. It even says it in the Gospels. Isn't that interesting? The question is, are you living for, you say, Pastor Jack, people, my grandmother said Jesus was coming back. Okay, so listen, your grandmother was ready. What about you? And here's the other thing. If your grandmother said it, how much closer are we? Just because she said it then doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Wake up. It means we're that much closer. Oh, it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. It's a sudden event. 1 Corinthians 15:51. This is fun. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." The word in Greek is mysterion. It's a very cool word. It means something that has always existed. It's always been there. It's always true. It's always been real. It's just that there's been no reason to unveil it because it didn't matter. It's God's eternal truth. There was no reason for the mysterion with what he's about to say to be given in the Old Testament. So it's not, because God's truth is eternal. Are you with me? So when Paul says here, "Behold, I tell you a mysterion," I'm telling you something that has always been God's truth, but it's not needed to be revealed until now. Why? Because the church age of believers are to be ready to meet Christ. It just so happens you and I are now 21 centuries out. How close are we? Look what he says. "We shall not all sleep." The word sleep is referring to the believer's body appearance, not your soul. Some of you have been taught soul sleep. That's a cult view when people misunderstand scripture. Oh, sleep? Does that mean when you die as a believer, you just wait or you sleep? And then someday wake up? Nope. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Think of that. No, it's always referring to the body. You look, a Christian, a believer, you look, when you're sleeping, you look like you're dead. So, you know, some of you sleep. Is he breathing? Wake him up. Is he dead? He's sleeping in the Lord. He looks dead. The church, the doctrines, use the word sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Some argue back and forth, 18 to 22 thousandths of a second. Who cares? It's fast. "At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall," notice there he goes again, Paul, "we shall be changed." I want you guys to look at this word. Go ahead and put it up on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 15:51. Again, watch this, everybody. This is fun. Read your Bible carefully. "For the trumpet will sound," or excuse me, "at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound," and what are we talking about? "The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." He's talking about the event you just read in 1 Thessalonians 4. Are you with me? Are you tracking? Here's what's cool. There are those who have been taught, oh, you see the word last trumpet? Aw, I was getting excited, but now I know for sure the rapture's at the end of the tribulation period, because that must refer to the seven trumpet judgment of the book of Revelation. So there you go. There you're wrong. It has nothing to do with that. Listen, the reason why there's a last trumpet is because there's a first trumpet. And it goes back, listen, the whole context is gathering God's people together. Do you agree? Do you see that? It's gathering God's people together. God told Moses, "I want you to build two trumpets made out of silver for the gathering together of my people." Moses says, okay. He builds two trumpets. Every time Moses gathered God's people together, the Jewish people, he would blow a trumpet. And to this day, the Jews will say, "But what's the other trumpet for? Why two?" And some will say, "It's a backup. It's in case the other one breaks." It's a mystery. The first trumpet calls the Jews together. God's been calling the Jews together certainly since 1948, back into their own land. He called them together for battle. He called them together for convocations. He called them together for announcements. But the last trumpet's never been blown. That last trumpet is to gather another group of God's people together. You. It's the last trumpet. The first one gathers Israel. The last one gathers the church. And to prove the context, it demands that the dead are raised incorruptible. That means the bodies of the believers come out of the ground. Oh, wouldn't you love to be at a driving through Forest Lawn when that happens? And as soon as you say, "Look at that," you're up. Can you imagine? And now we lay our brother down. Anyway, look, the context is amazing. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, the church living at that time, shall be metamorpho or transformed, transfigured. We will be molecularly changed. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Changed. Our molecules are going to change. We're Christians. We believe in resurrection. That means this flesh is going to be repositioned. God's going to take the molecule structure, the molecular structure of our flesh, and just tweak it. And when he tweaks it, it will be in its glorified state.
Yes.
It's the words he uses. Absolutely awesome. I'm so excited. I'm losing control of myself over this. Thirdly, under this point, it's required. You got to have it. The rapture is not only found in the Bible, it has to happen. We need it. It's part of God's redemptive process. Just know that. It's going to happen. It's required in the scripture to happen. Because our series will eventually cover elements of this, I want to move forward, but before I do, I just want to say something about this. In 2 Peter 3, verse 3, you should jot this down because you're living in it right now. This is our age. In 2 Peter 3, 3, remember, this is written 2,000 years ago. Peter warned, know this first. Priority one. Can you imagine? Peter's got his clipboard. All right, first things first. That scoffers will come on the last days, walking according to their own lust. And this is what they're going to say. Where is the promise of his coming? Is that amazing? I said, my goodness, Pastor Jack, I talked to somebody yesterday about that. Did you get a picture with him?
Yeah.
You should take a picture with him. Get a selfie with him. Shake their hand. Tell them, oh my gosh, can you wait for a minute? I want to read to you 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. You are a walking Bible prophecy fulfillment. You said Jesus isn't coming back? Stand still. Look at you. Wow. The Bible said there'd be people like you. You're scoffers. You're a scoffer. And that's one of the, that's how I know we're getting close to the last days, even though there's no prerequisite.
Yeah.
Oy vey, you're a scoffer. His coming's close. And listen, the closer, watch, listen, everybody, the closer we get to his coming, we know something. There will be more and more people not believing it. There will be more and more people departing from the faith. More and more people will give up in believing. That's one of the indicators. Although there are no prerequisites, Paul says we will know the times and the seasons. We'll have a general feel. What a remarkable warning. Watch out for liberal theologians in this day and age that say, well, it's just it's a symbol. It's symbolism. It really means this and it really means that. It's typological. No. Whenever the Bible is typological, it says so. Did you know that? And I'll prove it to you. You already know this. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says Jesus went into the water. John the Baptist baptized him. And the Bible says that Jesus came up out of the water. And what happened? Oh, this, you guys are smart. Were you at first and second service? See, I'm telling those people. First and second, they all said, a dove landed on him. Now, this we know for sure. We know absolutely for sure. In fact, the chances of an eagle landing on him or a turkey would have been higher than a dove, and I'll prove it to you. The Bible says Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. That means, in theology, it means it wasn't a dove. Are you with me? It automatically means this we know for sure. It's not a dove. Why? Because it says it was like a dove, which excludes all doves. It does, but I saw the movie. The dove landed on him. Doesn't count. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus like a dove would land on your head. When the Bible speaks symbol, it says so. And there was a great dragon, as it were, that rose up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So you're thinking, oh my goodness, they think they got pictures of a dragon in the North Atlantic living at like 20,000 feet below the sea. That's how close we are to the end. Where do you get that from? The Bible says in the last days, like a dragon coming up out of the water. No, the governments of the world to come and the one world order will be like a dragon rising up.
Yeah.
It's simple if we just slow down and read it. Watch out.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number two, church, it's this. What happens next? Who's involved in the rapture? Who's involved in it? 1 Thessalonians, again, look at verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with those who sleep in Jesus." Number one, mark it down. Those who are involved in the rapture are the dead, the believing dead. Technically, they're the previous dead. Because at the moment of the rapture, this is amazing. If I died right now, my body would go fall down because my spirit's gone. In a sense, think of it this way. You say, "Oh man, you know, the guy was dead before he hit the ground." Well, it just simply means my soul, my spirit was gone before I hit the ground. When this thing hits the ground, you know, "Oh, Pastor Jack, let's pray. Leave me alone. Yeah. Who asked you? Just bury me somewhere. I don't care where. Put me in your garden. I don't care. I'm not going to stay there. I'm gone. My soul, the me that I am, and you that you are, you immediately go to the presence of Jesus. It's like you go, like when you lay down to sleep and you go into dreamland, you're like this. Your body looks dead. You're all over the place in your dreams. Think of that in reality. You're going to be with him. Your body's going to be here. Your body's going to be put in the ground, or you're going to be cremated. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the molecules at all. It just reduces them down in size. It doesn't change them. Think of it. And for those that are going to come out of the ground, the Bible says, "And the dead in Christ will rise first." All that means is that according to order, it doesn't mean that they rise first and 7 years later we fall. Oh, no. It's probably nanoseconds of time, but they have first privilege. Their body comes up, and the scripture tells us that he brings with him those that died in Christ. You understand? That's their spirit and souls in heaven. Their bodies here on earth, or under the earth, technically, somewhere in the earth. Number two, who is involved in the rapture? All of us who are currently, can I put it this way? Yeah. I could have put all of us who are currently living, but that's obvious. The Christian right now, we are grieving as we live. You know that? You really do know that. You just haven't thought about it. We all kind of walk in a fog of grief. Somebody's sick. Someone died. This is an injustice. This was terrible. The this, the other. Are you with me? Fill it in. If that doesn't affect you, turn on a nature program. And you're looking, "Oh my goodness, those, look how beautiful. Look how beautiful that gazelle is going across the African plain." And then it's eaten up by this lion. And you go, "Oh gosh, turn the channel. The kids are watching." What happened? The Bible says all of nature is groaning because of the sin of man. Adam and Eve plunged this world into sin, and death came, the Bible says. Death. So God made it, man blew it up, messed it up. We need to understand that. But currently, you and I grieve over that. We really do. We see things that are, you know, animals that are born or children born with defects or whatever, and your heart just wrenches. Or you see someone suffering, human suffering like never before in my lifetime. And as a believer, I'm grieved. It's like, "Lord, thank you. This is not my home. Thank you, God, we're getting out of here. Thank you, Jesus. This was not your will. This is not your plan. This is not what you did." But we're grieved. And we groan. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we groan. You get, young people are like, "I don't get it." You're going to get it. As you get older, you're going to start groaning. Back's going to hurt. Oh. You get sore. Isn't that, you know, us older people, our more mature people, we have to be careful, because I have found a little bit of a glee when I see some young person finally wind up saying, "Oh man, I sat in that spot and I'm going. That too is sin and it needs to be repented of. But here the Bible tells us that we do not sorrow like those who have no hope. You know, we all have put the body, buried the body of a loved one, and we cry and we miss, but not without hope. Because I think of my mom, my goodness, my sister, my dad, we put their body in the ground. But because they had accepted Christ, they immediately went to heaven. But there's going to be a day when they'll be resurrected. And that body will be reconstituted new. And they're going to meet up with their consciousness, the real person of who they are, in the atmosphere, and we'll be there to see it. You're going to be there to see it. It's like, oh my gosh, this is 1 Thessalonians 4 happening here, folks. And then thirdly, who's involved is all we who are united in Christ Jesus. It's called the church, people. The church has been given promises and things that no other group in the Bible have been allowed. We're favored. Did you know that? It's an amazing. Look at us. Black, white, every color in between, whatever social structure, whatever economic structure, whatever continent, whatever nationality. Isn't it beautiful? Whatever pigmentation and language, every country, tribe, tongue, and nation, Jesus says, that's my church. Isn't she beautiful? He loves that. What a neat thing that is. Number three in our study. Number three, it's this. When will the rapture happen? That's why you came today. You want me to tell you when it's going to happen. I'm writing a book right now, and when I'm kidding, just joking.
No man knows the day or the hour.
Exactly. Nobody knows the day or the hour. There ain't no way. If somebody wrote a book telling you when Jesus is coming back, don't buy the book. No one's going to know. When will the rapture happen? The Bible tells us in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Watch this. Three things. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Three things. So listen up. Jesus Christ is coming back. The rapture will be on the day when Jesus shouts. That's the answer. The day Jesus shouts, that's the day we're going to get raptured. The Bible tells us he's going to come out of his heaven. Man, if you get a chance, watch the documentary Before the Wrath. He comes out of his heaven to pick up his bride.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Happens Next. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, I'm asking you to mark your calendars January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time for a very special Happening Now service. This is 90 minutes, fast-paced, where I sit down with Seth Gruber, the leading voice for the pro-life movement. Seth is absolutely the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding the origins and the current issues of the pro-choice movements and where it's going. Friends, listen. Seth is going to be revealing to you some incredible information. For example, just one thing will be the linkage between Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Adolf Hitler, and his march to destroy the Jews and homosexuals and other of dark skin. Where did that come from? Well, we're even going to go back to the ancient days of pagan gods. It's a remarkable, remarkable time. Mark your calendar, January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can view it live at jackhibbs.com.
You know, we've all felt the pressure, even the guilt of not giving God more of our time. Life in our fast-paced world can be exhausting, trying to navigate through hectic schedules, unexpected challenges, and even a health scare. The irony is that so much of that pressure would go away if we would just slow down and quiet ourselves so we can truly experience God's presence After all, a life apart from God is really no life at all. So how can we make pursuing God a priority in our lives? Our current featured resource can help. It's called The Pursuit of God, and it's written by a renowned author and evangelist, A.W. Tozer. This Christian classic offers hope and guidance to pursue God in a whole new way.
The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze slowly towards Him. The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.